Inside on Business, the news hour, is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the news hour. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Thursday afternoon. Last night in Des Moines, there was a special event put on by the Metropolitan Planning Organization. It was all about walkability and streets and how people get from point A to point B. And the former 16-year mayor, and not 16 years old, but 16-year mayor, John Norquist, was one of the principal speakers, and we are fortunate enough to have him with us on the News Hour. Mr. Mayor, welcome to Des Moines.
Thank you. My pleasure. It's great to be in Des Moines.
I am captivated by how we have altered ways to get around over the past 50 or 60 years. We've become so car-centric that we want to speed and get the heck out of town just as quickly as possible. Is there a better way to do this?
Yes. I mean, it's basically an overreaction to new technology. So you had the car come along, the motor vehicle come along, and too many parking lots and parking ramps were built, and the streets were widened, and the streets were sterilized. I mean, Walnut Street in Des Moines used to have, you know, maybe 100 businesses in the downtown, real fine-grained, complicated network of stores and other activities along the street. And it was kind of washed away, ended up with, you know, basically a corporate landscape, and which has some good things about it, but, you know, not very exciting. And the younger generations aren't as wed with, you know, as thrilled with the car. I mean, for my dad, cars were a big deal. He was a prisoner of war in World War II under the Japanese for 3.5 years. One of the ways that he made it through the war was to dream about all the cars he wanted to have when he got out. And he did buy a new car for the first 4 years each year after he got out of the prisoner of war camp. So he was, like, obsessed. That was a generational thing. And when I was a teenager, I owned several cars before I even graduated from high school. But my son, he has a driver's license, but he doesn't drive.
Well, with so many public opportunities for public transportation, many people are finding that that's not necessary. And here in downtown Des Moines, the demographics have changed drastically. At one time, 20 years ago, nobody lived downtown. Now we have literally thousands of apartments and condominiums where people are residing.
Yeah, it's really demographic. The changes are remarkable, and they're spread around as cities around the country. In Chicago, it's very dramatic. You know, the biking, transit, all that stuff is really the fantastic facilities. And Milwaukee, very similar thing. The transit isn't quite as good as Chicago, but these changes are happening, and Des Moines is not just sitting here doing nothing. You have the East Village, Locust Street, and Grand, a great example of streets that have been brought back to life. They were kind of dead, and now they're enlivened with local businesses. Ingersoll on the west side, that street functions very well. Property values increased along the street, more activity. It's become a destination. So I think Des Moines can restore a lot of that complexity that that makes a city really attractive.
When we talk about what happened in Milwaukee, how many years ago was it that you had this vision to readjust how things were being done and how transportation was being done in Milwaukee?
Well, I was in the legislature. In fact, when I was first elected to the House, I ran in a district where they were going to build a freeway right through Jackson Park, which was in Frederick Law Olmsted Design Park, and the neighborhood didn't want it. I ran against a guy who had been elected for 12 years, and I beat him. I surprised everybody and beat him. People didn't want to ruin the park. So I already had that kind of orientation. And so we ended up, we had an anti-freeway revolt in Milwaukee. A lot of people got elected on that. And then later on, you know, I got into all kinds of other issues, too. I wasn't a one-issue person. But when I was mayor, I had the opportunity to remove a section of existing freeway. And we also changed the zoning code to make it easier for developers to build quickly with fast permitting if they were building urban. Now, if they wanted to tear down a bunch of buildings and put in a giant parking lot and all that stuff, we made life hell for them. But if they wanted to build something that added value to the existing property around them, hey, they got permits quickly. And that made a huge difference. I mean, we made the city much more market-oriented, much less about the pathology of the city and, oh, poor us, give us money. You know, that never has worked. And the city is very valuable. We stopped subsidizing projects and got much more in tune with the marketplace, which I think is the key to cities. Cities are so close to the market compared to the federal government or the state government that cities need to realize that. Their salvation is not in Washington. It's not in the state government, but it's in realizing what adds value to that city.
Well, I think that's one of the very key elements of this entire discussion. This is not a bunch of old hippies wanting to hug trees. This is talking about the opportunity to add real value to the not only the infrastructure that we have existing, but build infrastructure that adds value to consumers as well as landowners.
That's right. And if a city is going to spend money on infrastructure, shouldn't it add value to the place where it's built? Shouldn't that be a consideration? So when you look at, for example, there's a little suburb outside of Buffalo called Hamburg, the village of Hamburg, and the state DOT wanted to come in and widen the street from 2 lanes to 4 lanes, and they would have torn down all the businesses on both sides of the street. The village said, okay, so in other words, you're going to kill our village. You know, the barber shop, the coffee shop, all that will be gone so the traffic can move faster. That doesn't add value to the village of Hamburg. So they resisted. It took them about 7 years, but finally the DOT backed off, and you can park, you know, in front of the barbershop, and there's a parking lane, but they didn't put in the 4 lanes. And everything worked out fine. And that's really what it's all about. If stuff adds value, fine. And moving traffic fast on streets doesn't always move traffic fast. You make a bigger street, actually, you suck a lot of new traffic into that street, and you can end up with just as much congestion as you started with. What really works is the street grid, because it distributes traffic. So it's the complexity of the street grid. If you look at the city in North America that has had the most real estate appreciation consistently over the last 30 years, it's Vancouver, British Columbia. They have no freeways whatsoever. They just have their street network with avenues, boulevards, and streets, and everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. It works fabulous. And they have really good transit, too. That helps. But the suburbs like it. They like it. You know, and it saved a lot of money. They didn't spend a lot of money on big roads. So, you know, there was an overreaction to the car. Now it needs to be adjusted. Des Moines already doing good stuff. Most of the stuff will save money. It's not that expensive. Ingersoll didn't cost very much money to improve it. And you look at the property value increases, spectacular.
I'm going to give you a real-life scenario that's going on in one of the communities here in the greater Des Moines metro. There's a small community of about 4,700. It's called Windsor Heights. And running right through Windsor Heights is University Avenue. It is 4 lanes, oftentimes with a turning lane. And there have been some conversations about bringing back on-street parking, bringing the opportunity to reduce those lanes to one going east, one going west. Many people in the business world are scared to death of that, saying, my gosh, people are going to leave, we're not going to have anybody here, and it's just going to be awful for business. What would you say to them?
Well, they can look at Ingersoll. The businesses there that didn't think it was a good idea now, for the most part, are happy, from what I've heard. You look at the property values. They had a nice increase in the property values after they made the change. As far as two-way streets, I mean, two lanes versus 4 lanes, all of the east-west streets in Chicago north of downtown, all the way up to Evanston, all the east-west streets come down to 2 lanes with a parking lane on each side within 20 blocks of the lake. And like Belmont, Fullerton, anybody familiar, Irving Park Road, all these streets, all of them. And they carry like 30,000 cars a day, 35, the traffic counts you wouldn't find on a lot of the streets in Des Moines. And you can park even at rush hour. There's no restriction on parking at rush hour. You know why? Because the merchants that sell goods and pay property taxes to the city of Chicago, they control that decision, not the people in the bureaucracy. And so they have, you know, there's congestion. Belmont is congested with traffic. It's also congested with money. It's congested with people. It's congested with profits. You know, if you want to, if your city is all about eliminating congestion, you can go to Detroit. How about Gary, Indiana? Yeah. They don't even have any retail now. They're lucky to have a 7-Eleven. But the streets are all wide. There's no parking on this commercial street because they want the traffic to move fast. You know, you can do that. You can commit property tax suicide and have really fast traffic. But it's not going to be a city where people want to live. So it's a trade-off. A little congestion isn't all that bad.
John Norquist, ladies and gentlemen, former mayor of the city of Milwaukee, in town last night to have a special opportunity to visit with leaders here in the greater Des Moines metro about what do we do with our streets, our streetscapes, and bringing value back to the community. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
I live on the farm and on the night.